Over the past few months, the arrival of Comet Ison in this autumn's night sky has been eagerly anticipated. Ison is a so-called sun-grazing comet, and in late November, it will skim within a mere 2 sun radii of the sun's surface, heating the comet to temperatures of thousands of degrees centigrade. It's widely expected that this will result in its surface venting steam and dust to space on an absolutely vast scale, and the comet could grow an absolutely incredible tail. But having been described by some as potentially the comet of the century just last year, more recently pundits have been being more cautious. NASA, for example, recently went as far as to describe it not visually pleasing. To hear more about these latest observations, I spoke to Matthew Knight from the Lowell Observatory in Flagstaff, Arizona.
Well, it's coming in from the outer solar system. It's gotten in past Mars now. It's getting close to about the distance of Earth's orbit. And it'll be reaching perihelion, or closest approach to the sun, on November 28th.
There's been some debate over whether it's going to be a brilliant comet or whether it might be a bit of a disappointment. I gather it's behaved rather unexpectedly.
Yes, it started out brightening fairly rapidly early on a year ago, and astronomers were quite optimistic about how it would brighten from then on in towards close approach to the sun. But it slowed down, and it has not been brightening nearly as steeply as we hoped it might, which means it's taken its time. It's getting brighter, but just kind of gradually, and it looks unlikely to be the comet of the century or the really bright comet that we were hoping it might be. But it still looks like it should be a decent comet. I think there's a good chance it could become naked eye, and certainly when it's very close to the sun, especially when it's observable by satellites like SOHO and STEREO, it should be a very interesting comet to observe.
The problem is that it's going to be very close to the sun when it is that brilliant comet.
Right. That makes it very hard to see from the ground and with the naked eye, because it's got that very bright sky background being very close to the sun. Most likely it won't be very bright when it's far enough away from the sun that you can get a nice, clear, dark sky to look at it.
So how have you been trying to understand its behavior?
I've been studying it in several ways. I'm primarily a ground-based observer, but recently I have just completed a paper on where we did some computer simulations to look at the comet and try and figure out if it was likely to survive its close approach to the sun or if it was likely to break up.
Comets are notoriously difficult to predict because they're this mixture of snow and rock, and it all depends what they're made of, how they're going to behave. How easy is it to computationally simulate that?
It's fairly challenging. I mean, we don't know a whole lot specifically about this comet. We know very little, so we're just using generalities we know about other comets and trying to apply them to this one. But as you said, things can be very different, very unpredictable, especially on a comet like this that's never been close to the sun before. It's just really hard to know exactly how it will react. So what we did was just take some of these characteristics that we could constrain a bit, so we knew roughly how big it is, and we know, generally speaking, how dense comets are from observing other comets. And we made some assumptions about, for instance, how elongated it was, so was it circular or more cigar-shaped, and about how fast it was likely to be spinning. But again, they're just generalizations because we don't know the specifics of this comet yet.
Must be a worry that the comet has been behaving so unexpectedly. It hasn't brightened over the last few months. Does that make it difficult to draw parallels with previous comets?
It does. Because it hasn't gotten as bright as we hoped, it means that telescopes haven't been able to observe it quite as well as we would have hoped they might. So there's not quite as much information out there at this point that I thought there might have been if you had asked me about this, say, 6 months ago. So that has affected things.
You mentioned its rotation period earlier. Am I right in thinking it's quite a slow rotating comet, this one?
I'm not sure. Certainly that's one interpretation. Basically, as we've tried to look at it and see if there's a rotation period, we look for a signal in the brightness, brightening and decreasing. And things like Hubble and Spitzer, which both observe from space, so they don't have the problems with it being night or day and losing time. They can observe it over a long period of time, and they haven't seen substantial fluctuations in brightness. So one interpretation of that is that it could be a quite long period, several days long, for instance. The other interpretation is just that there's just not much that we can see, that it could be anything, and it's just such a small level because it's either a small nucleus or it's very active, and that the signal from the coma or the gas, the sort of fuzzy gas around the nucleus, is bright enough that it's obscuring our view of the nucleus, and so we just can't pick up that signal. So it could be faster, but it's just being obscured.
So what you're trying to do there, you're hoping the comet is non-spherical, it's got a knobbly shape, and as it rotates, it's presenting a different cross-section to observers on Earth.
Exactly right. You can imagine looking at, say, a soda bottle, and as it rotates, if you're looking at it down the cap, you'd see a very small cross-section, and if you look at it from the side, you'd see a very large cross-section, and that would correspond to a low point or a high point in its brightness.
So the conclusion from your studies, by the sounds of it, is that it may not fragment, and it may remain intact as it passes close to the sun.
Right. That's what we concluded in our paper. This is not a 100% sort of guarantee. This is just in our simulations, more often than not, it looked like it would survive. But we certainly had some simulations where it did not survive as well.
And what does that mean for the brightness of the comet moving ahead? I suppose a fragmentation event would be very bright for a short period, but then it would fizzle out?
A good parallel to this is Comet Lovejoy, which came around about 2 years ago, the last Comet Lovejoy. There's currently one that was just discovered that's getting fairly bright also. But the Comet Lovejoy from 2011, it was also a sun-grazing comet, so a relatively similar orbit to Comet Ison. And it broke up within a few hours or maybe a day or so after its close approach to the sun. And when it did that, it just kind of disintegrated, and it dumped all of the dust that made up that comet all at the same time, and it produced a really spectacular tail. So it was a southern hemisphere object, so those of us in the northern hemisphere couldn't see it. But from the south, from Australia, from Chile, they got really nice pictures, and it became a naked eye comet with a very long, bright tail. So if Ison were to break up, I think that's certainly a very strong possibility. I expect it to have a good tail anyway, but if it were to disrupt and break up, I think it would become the most spectacular that it could be of the apparition. But if it doesn't break up, then it may not look quite as spectacular with the naked eye, but it means that astronomers can continue to study it outbound again. And it's actually better for observing from the ground and from Earth after perihelion than before. So in late December, for instance, is when it would be up all night long from the northern hemisphere, and it would be fairly close to the Earth. So that would be our best time as astronomers to study it.
Am I right in thinking that earlier in the week, a new image was released from the Hubble Space Telescope, which showed a very smooth coma, and that seems to also be suggesting it's not going to fragment?
Yes, I was very pleased to see that Hubble image come out exactly as you described it. It's a very smooth coma. There's no evidence that it has already fragmented. It just looks like a well-behaved comet.
So looking ahead to the next few months, if people want to go out in their gardens and look at Ison, what might they expect to see?
So first, I'll caution that folks have to go out early in the morning. Right now, and also immediately after perihelion, it'll be a morning object, so it's up before sunrise. And right now, I'm being told from people with their own telescopes, sort of, you know, small 10-inch kind of telescopes, that they are able to pick it up now. And you can see a central condensation and a dust tail. It probably won't look as good as those pictures like from Hubble, but that's the general idea. And as it gets closer to the sun, it should get brighter. I expect that dust tail will get longer, and it will hopefully continue to be a more impressive object. And again, after perihelion, I expect to have a longer tail because it will have lost a lot more dust right around perihelion. So in the first week, 2 weeks after perihelion, so early December, that's when I think people really have the best shot to see it with their eyes or with binoculars or with the backyard telescope, and to look for that big long tail that could in fact be many degrees long.
That was Dr. Matthew Knight, who's based at the Lowell Observatory in Flagstaff, Arizona.